We're going to study Maral on Parshas Shemos, not in the Gurariyeh, but in Sefer Gvuras Hashem, which deals extensively with Yitzias Mitzrayim, and ostensibly it's the Maharal's masterwork on issues of Sipur Yitzias Mitzrayim as well. And so we find ourselves studying Gvuras Hashem in these parshiyos of Shmos, Veira, and Bo, and also before Pesach. So we're looking at Gvuras Hashem Perek Tesvav. And the first citation that we'll study is in the middle of Perek Tesvav. The Torah tells us how the Pharaoh asked the Jewish midwives to snuff out the young lives of the boys that might be born. And of course they defied the Pharaoh. Vatechayena es hayilodim. Now when the Torah tells us about these midwives, it names them Shifra and Pua. Rav and Shmuel, Maseches Sota, tell us they are none other than Yocheved and Miriam. The other man, Dama, says Yocheved and Elisheva. So it's either mother and daughter, mother and daughter-in-law. But one thing's for sure, Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, was one of them. Why not just say Yocheved? Tell us her name. Eventually, the Torah tells us that Yocheved gave birth to Moshe. So of course, we know her as Shifra because of how she treated the babies and how she made them beautiful and how she acted beautifully. But nevertheless, the question is, why not tell us the name of Moshe's mother? Venira. Lekach lo hiskir osam bishmam. Lomar asher shem ha'achas Yocheved. The Torah, for the following reason, didn't want to tell us that her name was Yocheved. Mipnei sheloi timtze shem Yocheved koidim leidas Moshe. You will not find Yocheved's name anywhere in the Torah until after Moshe is born. The description of Moshe's arrival is also clouded by Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi. It doesn't say who his father was. Vayikaches Bas Levi. It doesn't say who his mother was. Only later does the Torah say, and the name of Moshe's mother, and the name of Moshe's father, but only after he's born. Only after he actually begins to become Moshe Anshel Yisrael. Why not tell us who they are at the outset? V'hainu sheloi soymar ki noilad Moshe mitzad Amram v'Yocheved. The reason is because we should not attribute Moshe's arrival on the scene, his entry into this world, is not attributable to his parents. They did what had to be done materially, biologically, but not spiritually. Now, that doesn't mean they weren't spiritually lofty individuals. Of course they were. But Moshe Rabbeinu was of such a nature that we want to understandably attribute the arrival of his neshama to a completely different realm. It's the realm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. That there's something about Moshe arriving in this world that's different from the arrival, again, not biologically, but spiritually, metaphysically, different from the arrival of any other neshama. So that's what he means when he says you shouldn't say or refer to the arrival of Moshe mitzad Amram v'Yocheved Shehem b'nei Adam pratim. They're individuals. Shedavar ze einoi, that's incorrect. Kilefi ma'alas Moshe umadregosoi. because of the lofty stature of Moshe. Shehaya Moshe nivdal mikal adam al pnei ha'adama. He's different from every other human being. And because he's different, so different, we're not going to say that he arrives on the scene because his mother and father were given and graced with the new life, the birth of a baby. Of course, that's true. And the Torah will eventually tell us the name of Moshe's mother, the name of Moshe's father. But because he comes from that source of neshamos, with designation of such a unique kind, designation of this Moshe as someone who is nivdal, in the words of the Maharal, nivdal mikol adam, he's distinct from all other human beings. Nivdal mikol adam al pnei adam kasha yadu mimadregas Moshe. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we're going to describe him as having been born to a particular family of Levi. Levi, yes. Mishpacha of Levi, yes. But not the individual father and the individual mother. So apparently, Maral doesn't deal with the fact that there is something about Shevet Levi that it is mentioned that he is a descendant of Levi. But he is not the descendant of, and he is not the son of this particular man and of this particular woman, although he was. And the Torah will, of course, you know, accede to tell us that later, but not now. Now, it's interesting that this kind of an idea smacks of what Lahavdil Alfei Avdolos was done later, 1,000+ years later. You know, people said, well, let's talk about, you know, the arrival of someone and talk about it in terms that are, you know, biologically different from. That's not what, Chas v'shalom, that's not what he's saying. But you begin to hear and see where the ideas came from, where the idea of talking about, you know, some kind of a different kind of a conception, yeah, the Immaculate Conception they call it. You see where they try to almost imitate the idea of the arrival of Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is, of course, a Yelud Isha. He's born from a mother and father. But the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there shall be a Moshe Rabbeinu is different from HaKadosh Baruch Hu said there shall be a Reuven, a Shimon, a Levi, a Yehuda. No, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says there's going to be Moshe, who will not only be Mashiach Shel Yisrael, but it will be Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai. That's a completely different arrival of a kind, unlike the birth of any human being. That's the point. The choice that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes when he says, let there be a Moshe, who's going to be Moshe Kibul Torah Misinai, is different from the decision, as we would say, for Hashem to decide, let there be born this child from this mother, that child from yena mother, another mother, a third, this child from another mother. Those are all decisions made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course. But the choice of Moshe, nivdal, mikol ha'adam. Mikol adam apnei ha'adam. Ve'em yomer ha'kosov ki Moshe noled mi'amram v'yacheved b'nei adam pratiyim. If you say he is of this particular father and this particular mother, lohaya Moshe nivdal mikol adam. Now he's not really that different from other people. Shaharei hu misyaches el aviv b'mashehu prati ze v'chol prati hu chelek. If you are born to this father, so then you're attributable. You can explain the nexus, the causal nexus of Moshe Rabbeinu's arrival is this father and this mother, and he, Moshe Rabbeinu, is just like us. He is a chelik of Klal Yisrael. He is the son of Amram and Yocheved. I am the son of Avram Yishua Heschel and Sarah Shulamis. You're the son of so-and-so and so-and-so. So he's a part of the greater whole. No, we don't want that. Now, you have to understand that as this idea develops, you read how Achronim understand and teach us that Moshe Rabbeinu has an aspect that aligns him with all of us. The fact that Moshe was Kibbutz Torah Misina, and then he then gave us Torah, Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe, means that Moshe Rabbeinu has a special relationship with each and every one of us. And we find this idea developed even more fully in Chassidus, where every generation has those neshamos who reach out and are connected to everyone else in the generation. Those tzaddikim who, like Moshe in his door, was connected to, and everybody could benefit, and everybody could nurse from Moshe. So there are the tzaddikim in every door. Everybody can nurse from that tzaddik. The Maharal doesn't mean that. The Maharal is saying that the Torah wants us to recognize that he is distinct from any other human being. And so therefore the Torah says that he is distinct from them. And more than that, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills that he be born and then causes him to be born is operationally different from the decision to have any other baby born in the world. And that's what he means when he says that Moshe Rabbeinu is not noilad mitzad Amram. In other words, you can't attribute the arrival of Moshe Rabbeinu to Amram and Yocheved. That they did the biological work, and she carried him and then gave birth to him, early as it may have been. But yes, that was all true. But we're talking about the neshama Moshe, the persona Moshe. That's something that is of a different order entirely. That's conveyed by not telling us their names.
Maybe that's what I was saying. By saying the names, that means you're attributing Moshe's persona, as Rav said, to Amram and Yocheved, who, as great as they were, but he isn't them. He is on a whole other level, so therefore it's not giving their names. Otherwise you'd think...
It's not only that he's on a different... It's true. What you're saying is true. But it's not only that he's on a different level. It's that the cause for him to be born and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let there be a Moshe, is different from the decision on high that any other neshama arrives in this world. That's the point. The causal nexus that causes Moshe Rabbeinu to be born, that there is an idea, that there is a concept, a Moshe who will be going up on her Sinai where no one else can, who is going to be, you know, an Israelikim, where no other human being has ever been so described, that's what happens when he's born. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be a Moshe Rabbeinu. The point is, that is unlike HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, let there be this neshama, that neshama, the other neshama. That is a completely different kind of arrival of neshama into this world. That's all. That's what he means. He is not a part of Klal Yisrael in the way you and I are a part of Klal Yisrael. He's not a chelik. Yeah? He is bigger than that. Again, the Maharal doesn't say he is equal to and could have been the father of the entire nation. He is, and that's true, right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, was angry at us and said, you know, let me destroy the Jewish people and I'll build up a whole new nation just from you, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Because Baruch Hu basically proposed to Moshe, you'll be the father of the nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu said no. But the point is that Kadosh Baruch Hu turned to him and said, look, we, you know, you are the nation. We can do it with you and start just with you. So the Maharal doesn't mention it, but the reason that that's possible is because Moshe Rabbeinu is not just a part of the people. He is tantamount to the people. The reason he's tantamount to the people is because ultimately we are a people of what? What makes us a people? Torah. Well, where does that Torah come from? Moshe. So Moshe's not a part of the people, he is the people. He is equal to the people. He's not just of the people, he is the people. So when he arrives on the scene, in order to have us understand that, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, we're not going to talk about him as if just a mere mortal born to mother and father. We're going to talk about him as born to a mother, a father, but we're going to have you understand that he is bigger, meaning that he includes all of us. Again, the Maharal doesn't say it just that way. He doesn't say, Moshe Rabbeinu is all of us. That's the next step. Right? He's not a chelik, he is the klal. But that's the reason he was able to give over to us. So in Chassidus we find that constantly, that Moshe Rabbeinu is not a prat, he is the klal. And since he is the klal, he is able to teach each and every one of us in the prat all the Torah that he taught us.
So Moshe Rabbeinu is the klal, and why does it say Vibes Levi rather than Vibes Yisrael?
Okay, so that's I said before, I said that it's interesting that the Maharal doesn't answer it, but apparently that is enough to tell us that he was from Shevet Levi. That doesn't mean he's exclusive to Shevet Levi. He's still a klal. But it's Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi. By the way, the fact that it's not mi Shevet Levi, mi Beis Levi, that's very telling also. Because it's already revealing to us that Levi, you know, serves as a unique Shevet, and the Shevet of, you know, of Kahuna and Leviah. Let's turn to the next page. This Perek Shisha Asa, right? 16th Perek of Gurus Hashem. The second citation that we have numbered there. So, Chazal Adarish that Vayelech Ishmi Beis Levi, Vayikach Es Bas Levi, there's a very grand, you know, taking back, he was Machzir Gurushaso, he remarried her, right? Chazal explained that they had separated, saying, Paro says that if we have children, they are all boys are to be flung into the river. So why shall we continue as a family, just to bring about the demise of our boys? And then Miriam says, but that's, you know, but then there'll be no boys, there'll be no girls. You're dooming the nation completely. It's worse than even what Paro said. So they come back together again and they remarry. Not only do they remarry, but he does it in a grand fashion. You know, they went, they got a 12-piece band. In my day, a 6-piece was, you know, was standard. So now, 12-piece, 16, they got an orchestra together. Chazal say that he built an apirion, Hoshiva ba'apirion. He lifted her up, we had her carried on a royal throne, borne on the shoulders of men carrying her up, picking her up in the air. You know, she was being treated royally as a true princess or queen. What do Chazal want to tell us? It's a very deep idea. This is a whole new marriage. This is not like the first marriage of Amram and Yocheved. She returned miraculously to be of youthful nature. Chazal calculate, we were in Mitzrayim 210 years. Moshe was 80 years old when we left. Yocheved was born as we entered. So that means at this time when Moshe is born, she's 130 years old. Huh? So again, like in the case of Sarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu causes that she will, even at that age, bear a child. Kidim Mefarish. V'hayaroi shiyu oisim maisa lekuchim chadoshim kamei shechazru liyos nara. So that's why this is a big celebration, because it's not just a remarriage. It's not a second marriage for this couple. He's not just being machzer gurusha, so taking back his wife after divorcing her. It's a whole new marriage with a whole new woman. V'inyan zeh niflum ha'od, ka'asher taskil tovin, chazoras n'ureh, she'yeh, excuse me, she'hoyel yocheved. If you think about it, then you understand why it has to be that way. Ki ka'asher yoldo es Moshe Rabbeinu, olav ha'shol. She'hoya, al kol b'ni adam b'malo, k'dichsiv, le'kam navi, k'moshe oid. You're not just giving birth to a human being of any ordinary kind. She's giving birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. Umalas Moshe, who may olam ha'elyon. Moshe is unlike any other human being. Moshe is going to be, you know, somehow so different that he can be up on Har Sinai. Aboyim Yoyim, Aboyim Laila, Lechem Lechalti, Mayim Leshasisi. I mean, you have to understand. The Torah literally says he's on Har Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights without taking a morsel of bread in his mouth, without sipping a sip of water. Humanly impossible. Not a medrash. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So what was Moshe? What does the Torah say about Moshe? Not a medrash. What does the Torah say about Moshe Rabbeinu? That he didn't drink or eat for 40 days and 40 nights, which means he was a human being who was granted the ability to be superhuman. He was therefore superhuman. So this is not just getting married again to your wife. It's a whole different kind of marriage. This is not just taking her back. This is a whole new beginning for Amram and Yocheved. Maral is saying something so beautiful. This is a whole new beginning. She's not just being remarried by her erstwhile husband again. It's a whole new woman. She's a whole new entity. She's a whole different woman than the one she was when she first married. And that comes from, the source of that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, who is the only source for creation and of anything new. Amachadesh b'tuvay b'chol yoyim tamid ma'ase bereshis. Anything and everything else is simply a change in form. Everything else is E equals MC squared. Everything else is the conservation of matter. The only power of making, creating anything new is the Kadosh Baruch. She is now new. And Moshe Rabbeinu is not just any other person. He is a whole new kind of person. The same Mechadesh, the same author of that which is novel and new, which is the Holy One himself, who says, let there be a Moshe, understandably now says, let there be a whole new kind of woman who gives birth to Moshe. That's what the Maral was saying. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who says there's going to be an advent of a person who's going to bring my Torah into this world, who will convey my Torah into this world, something that's impossible. He's going to come up on Har Sinai, and he's going to be Mekabel Torah. And then he's going to share that Torah and give it over to the Jewish people. It's a whole new kind of human being. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who makes that kind of new human being, understandably said, there's also a whole new woman who's going to give birth to that human being. His neshama is of a different sort. It's kodesh kodeshim. Ne'etzal min hamala haramav ha'nisoh ha'elyoyna. That is, it's from, it's not just, you know, all the neshamas are connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every neshama is a chelek elikim b'ma. Every neshama is, so to speak, of the very holiness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, a substrate of godliness. Neshama neshenasatu b'tohairihi. Moshe's is of a completely different league. And a whole new kind, a new sort, a new configuration of a holiness of a neshama. And that is why the mother that's going to be the one to give birth to this neshama is also going to be completely new. That's what's being told to us when we hear Vayikach es Bas Levi, and Chazal mean to tell us that it was a whole happening, a big event, because it was going to be the entire giving of Torah through Moshe, introduction of a Moshe into the world, an Isha Elikim is going to be born, which the likes of which there never was and never will be. So this is very new, and so that's the new Likuchim, the new marriage. And finally, fascinating idea, he takes this same idea earlier toward the end of Perek Tesvav on page Ayin Hey in these editions of the Maharal Gevuras Hashem, and talks about how it was that Paro's astrologers came running to him and said, you know, we see that that someone, the Savior of Israel, is going to be born, but we don't know if he's an Egyptian or a Jew. So that's why Paro said, Kol Habein Hayilod Hayaru Tashlichu. All boys. They were casting Egyptian boys into the river as well, because they didn't know whether this Savior was going to be born from amongst the Jews or... And the question he asks is, well, how can you not know? These are professional astrologers. They know and can pinpoint that on this day the Moshiach Shel Yisrael is going to be born. Why can't they also know whether he's going to be of a Hebrew or of an Egyptian extraction? Yetzav l'chol amoy am Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina af al amoy gozar v'hatam hu she'etz tignim hayo emrim hayoem noilad ben she'ye Moshiach es Yisrael v'einonu yoidim im Mitzrayim im Yisrael hu amad gozar bo'ese hayom af al amoy kol ha'ben hayilud hayoed tishlichu v'chol v'loiksiv kol ha'ben hayilud l'Yisrael hayoed tishlichu v'im taimar im yodu ha'etz tignim hayoem noilad echot she'ye Moshiach es Yisrael lama lo yodu im hu Mitzrayim im Yisrael. So first he answers, Yesh lema, one teretz is, Shani Moshe Mipnei Shenikra Ben Labas Paro. First of all, he says, he's an Egyptian. He was adopted by Bisya, the daughter of the Pharaoh. You adopt a child, it's yours. And yeah, it happens just a few months actually after he's born. But the point is that she raises him. Bisya is considered to be, and is listed in Divrei Hayomim, he quotes the Pasuk, Ve'ele b'nei Bisya bas Paro. These are the children of Bisya, and earlier in the Pasuk it said, Avigdor, Avisocho, and the Chazal say, Avigdor is Moshe Rabbeinu. So she is considered to be a mother of Moshe. That's why, but it makes sense, because the astrology is saying, you know, there's someone born, but who is Moshe? You know, being raised in the Pharaoh's home and then adopted by the daughter of the Pharaoh. So he is, certainly in the world of astrology, in the wider world, he's not only Hebrew, he's also Egyptian. The daughters of Yisro described him as Ish Mitzri. It's on top of the next column, then he says another very interesting answer, and you can almost predict, based on what we learned, what he's going to say. Va'oid, kasher teida madregas Moshe Rabbein Olav Shalom, b'mash hay nivdul miklal Yisrael. He's so different even from us, b'mal shaloi, v'lo nishtatef im shar Yisrael b'malosam. He is not equal to us in his virtuous character. He is of such a greater nature as to not even be astrologically found within and amongst us. Because he was so nivdol from us, those astrologers did not tap on. They couldn't feel. They couldn't, you know, intuit, or however you want to say, they couldn't divine, to use an expression that we are loath to use, but that's the right expression. They could not somehow know or divine, what is he from? What extraction? Because Moshe is not just Jew, he's greater than that. He's not just Hebrew, he's different from Hebrew. He's so different that it doesn't even come up astrologically as Hebrew. He's so different that it didn't flash. Those lights didn't didn't go off. Those buttons weren't pressed. Those bells don't ring. He, Moshe, is of such a different sort altogether. B'havin Zahaytiv. So this is, of course, very much in line with what he has told us about Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Torah, in its own quiet way, is way before Matan Torah, way before Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai. The Torah is telling us about an arrival of not just someone who will save Am Yisrael, but someone who is of such stature and such a nature as to be different from any other human being. Highly, highly akin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his ability to teach Torah and convey Torah. Highly godly in his ability to be the one to give over Hashem's will and direction. And even otherworldly, to the point where later we see indeed that he is on Har Sinai, Arboim Laila, without bread and water. All of this is already hinted to by the fact that it says there was a man of Levi, a woman. We're not talking about his parents as just mere parents, because this is an arrival of a completely different kind of human being. And it should cause us to now recognize, and with appreciation, who Moshe Rabbeinu was, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in order to connect to us and to give us his Torah, not just to save us from Mitzrayim, but to give us a Torah and to connect to us. He created a Moshe Rabbeinu who could receive Torah and then present Torah and teach Torah and give us a Torah. And it's all hinted to already in the way the Ribbono Shel Olam chose to discuss the birth of Moshe, and do so in terms that cause him to be somehow almost mysteriously hidden, but at the same time distinctly different from any other human being.